Today we're going to conclude our series we've been in for most of the summer on Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad. It's been a life-changing series for many people. Anybody here say, Pastor, this series has really impacted my life greatly. Anybody here? Okay, are you receiving that? Amen. You know, some series, we always have people who respond, but it seems like God has been doing something even greater. I will tell you this, if you've missed any of the last two Sundays, you must go back online and listen to those sermons. I'm talking about what was shared the last two Sundays is things that have taken me 20 years to put together. 20 years to learn through counseling people, through discipling people, through my own personal struggles. 20 years of wealth of knowledge of spiritual growth can be imparted into you if you'll just take the time, go online at mydestinychurch.com, listen to the podcast over the last 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, we talked about breaking the spirit of comparison, something that every one of us deal with. I had many, many people, more than usual. It's not uncommon for me to get a handful of notes during the week from people who said this was changing my life, but it seemed like that was tripling and quadrupling. I was getting people sending me messages saying, Pastor, this was a life-changing message for me. Thank you. And then last week, we talked about the breaking the strongholds of the mind. And according to Scripture, the battle is in our mind. So how do we tackle that? How do we defeat that? If that's where the battle's at, how do we do that? And so I've talked about breaking the strongholds of the mind. Two very much important lessons you need to get into your spirit. If you did not hear that, go back online and pick those up. Today, as we conclude, I want to teach you something that may hurt a little bit, but we're going to teach it anyway. Is that okay? All right. Breaking an unteachable spirit. Oh, turn to your neighbor and say, this is going to be good. Breaking an unteachable spirit. If there's one thing that I've seen is this, that people who have problems with bad cycles in their life, people who seem to be, like, I go around and I face the same problems over and over and over again. I never get past where I'm at. There's usually something there. And what I see more than anything, a lot of times it has to do with their spirit being unteachable. This past weekend, the Destiny staff went away on Thursday night and all day Friday, and Friday night we were away and we spent some time together, but most of the time we spent together was coming together and talking about the planning for next year, ironing some things out in our vision, where we're going as a church, some personal things for them to grow as well. But one of the things we were ironing out was coming to an agreement on the church, and I asked this question, what does a leader look like? And what's the difference between someone who's leading and someone who's serving? And we began to iron it out and gave qualifications for both and what we expect of somebody who's serving versus somebody who's leading a ministry. And when it came to those we've asked to say somebody who's leading the ministry, it was unanimous. The biggest thing was two things that came out. Everybody said the same thing was, first of all, for those who are looking to be a leader, it's those who are committed, first of all. Obviously, you got to be committed to be faithful. But the second thing, which was just as of greatest importance, was they got to be teachable. They must be teachable. And it was a common thing that kept coming out. We're like, yo, boy, we can't get anywhere if the person's not teachable. And so this is a very much an important part of the Christian walk is learning to be teachable. We're going to read here what Solomon had to say. You know, Solomon was the guy in Scripture who the Bible says he was the wisest man to ever live. And the reason why he was the wisest man to ever live was he was David's son. And, of course, he had lived the life that had pleased the Lord. And matter of fact, God was so pleased. He said, Solomon, you ask of me any wish. You ask me one thing and I'll grant you anything you want in your life. You name it and it's yours. I mean, talk about really pleasing the Lord. And Solomon thought about it and he said, God, I want wisdom. I want just a wisdom that's beyond my years. I want a wisdom that's beyond anyone's ever had. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that Solomon was the most wise person other than Jesus to ever walk the earth. He was the most wise person to ever walk the earth. And he asked for wisdom. And God said, you know what? He said, because you didn't ask for money or wealth, or because you didn't ask to live longer days than what you should have, because you didn't ask for your enemies to be killed. How many know if God asked me, I probably have a top 10 list I'd love to give God right now. Come on, somebody said amen. Come on, leave your ex out of this. I just told you, God's healing in your heart. Come on. Some of us are like, man, I got some people I really like God to take care of. That would be us, right? But no, Solomon said, I'm asking for wisdom. And you notice what happened. As soon as he asked for wisdom, this pleased God so much that God said, all right, Solomon, because you asked for that, not only am I going to make you the wisest man who ever lived, I'm also going to make your days longer. I'm also going to make you the richest man that ever lived. I'm also going to give you a blessing. I'm going to take care of all of your enemies. And he said, because you asked for the right thing. And so we're going to look a lot at what Solomon had to share with us about being wise, about walking in wisdom. So let's pick it up in Proverbs 12:1. Solomon said this. He said, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is what? He who hates correction is, we don't say that word, do we? Some of us teach our kids that. We don't say that word. Well, this is what the New King James says, and the Bible says it. I'll say it today. He who hates correction is stupid. Now, we don't see that word used in Scripture very often, but when it does, I pay attention. There must be something to this Scripture. It says, he who hates correction is stupid. I don't need to exhort on that very much longer. I think you guys get the drift. The reason most people fail in life is not their aptitude, not their ability. It's not their aptitude that they fail. It's their attitude that stops them from succeeding. It's not their ability. It's their attitude that stops them from success. See, the earth, let's be honest, the earth is full of talented people. I mean, there is talent everywhere. There is talented people everywhere. In this area, all around the world, the earth is full of talented people. The reason a lot of talented people never excel and reach their fullest potential is because of their attitude. They have an unteachable spirit. And the reason we see less talented people succeeding is because of their attitude. They have a teachable spirit. We all know people. We say, man, I've got more talent than them. I could do this better than them. Why is God using them? Why are they being promoted, not me? It's not because of their ability that they've been promoted. It's because of their attitude. They have a teachable spirit that God has exalted them. And those who aren't teachable, God has resisted them, and we'll back that up with Scripture in just a few minutes. But what's it mean to be a disciple? A disciple simply means to be a learner, a learner of. So look at this statement I wrote, and I want you to get it. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus without a teachable spirit. You can be a believer, but you can't be a disciple. You can't be a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, without having a teachable spirit. They just don't coexist. We must learn to be teachable. So I'm going to give you some characteristics today. Five characteristics of an unteachable spirit. If you are suffering with these things, as I mentioned them to you, it probably means you're really battling with an unteachable spirit. The first one is a chronic failure. If you fail at money matters over and over again, if you're failing at marriage over and over again, if you're failing from job to job and job over again, you've probably got an unteachable spirit that you're dealing with. Look what Matthew 7:7 says. Ask. Everybody say ask. Isn't that amazing? We're the most stubborn people in the world, aren't we? Scripture makes it very clear. Ask, which is really the last thing we want to do. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, you'll find it. Knock, it gets open to you. For everyone who what? Ask. Everyone who ask receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it's opened. Look what John 16:13 says. However, he, the Spirit of truth, has come. talking about the Holy Spirit, and He will guide you into some truth, right? How much truth? The Holy Spirit has come to guide us in all truth. Now, we understand this, and I believe most of us comprehend this, and say, yeah, I understand. The Holy Spirit's here to open up spiritual truth to me. But let me tell you this, it's more than that. All truth can be open to you. You want to be a wiser person on your job? Learn this to simply ask, God, help me. God, help me learn what it means to be the husband my wife needs. God, help me to learn what it means to be the wife my husband needs. God, help me to learn what it means. Those of you who are teachers, God, help me this year. God, help me to understand my class. Help me to have an understanding that I can teach every student in my class. Give me insight how the difficult student in my class that I can help him comprehend what I'm teaching. And the Holy Spirit will do that. God, help me to be the best foreman in my factory. May my shift run better than anybody else's. May be more productive. Give me insights on how to lead my team. God, give me insights on how to run my business. Help me to be the best at what I do. God, show me. God, show me. God, He will show you in all truth. Not just spiritual truth, but He'll help you every day in all things. He wouldn't be concerned about a job, then turn around in Scripture and say, do our work as unto the what? The Lord. He says, we do our jobs as unto God. We work as unto the Lord. Everything we do as unto God. So if I'm going to do it as unto God, how about I just simply ask? I'm telling you, if you're a Christian today and you ask with a teachable heart, teach me, you will get insight beyond your years. You will get wisdom beyond your years. Well, I haven't had a good role model. I don't care. You ask God and you mean it and have a teachable spirit, He will show you insight on how to be the father you never had. How to be the husband that was never modeled to you. How to be the wife you didn't understand how to be. He will teach you all truth. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. Look, number two, one of the characteristics we have of those who are unteachable is we have an argumentative and defensive nature. Argumentative and defensive nature. Look what Proverbs 9 says. Do not correct a scoffer or those who mock you, lest he hate you. But look what it says. Rebuke a wise man, or we can say correct or teach a wise man, and he will what? Love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. See, if you have a hard time with being defensive when people try to teach you things, you've got an unteachable spirit. Let's just take it a little further here today. If you have a hard time taking instruction from your wife or your husband, you can have an unteachable spirit. But she's trying to tell me how to be a husband. And you know what? She don't know. She's not a man. I'd rather go down to the job and I got Joe and Charlie down there trying to tell me exactly how to be a man. They know because they're a man. They've got to figure it out. Who else better to teach me how to be a husband that my wife needs than my wife? Who else better for me to teach my wife how to be the wife that I need than me? And if every time we open up to each other and we try to teach each other what we need, then we're in trouble, right? And we get, oh, you can't. See, we used to play this game when we first got married called, if you love me, you will read my mind. Anyone ever suffer with that thing? Come on. You know, if you really love me, you'll get the hints that I'm laying down for you. I'm like, fine, like, honey, no, I'm a man. Just tell me what you want. Don't leave me any hints. I love you greatly, but just tell me exactly what you're thinking. Tell me exactly what you want. And when things go a lot smoother. I can understand that. If you love me, you'd have picked up on, no, I love you, but I'm dumb. Just tell me. Just tell me what you want. And so our life will go a lot smoother. It has. We quit trying to play this game. And you figure it out. Well, I'm not going to tell you if you... Oh, that's an unteachable spirit. No. Teach me, honey. Teach me how to love you the way you need to be loved. I teach you, honey. This is how I need you to love me. This is how I need you. And we learn from each other. Got to have a teachable spirit. Have you ever noticed that most successful people have coaches and teachers around them at all times? Think about that. The most successful people in life surround themselves with coaches and leaders. I mean, this weekend, the number one golfers in the world are playing a tournament somewhere, and the number one golfers, which is not you, Aaron, that's why you're here, the number one golfers, I'm just giving Aaron, my buddy, a hard time. He's a good golfer. But you ever notice the number one golfers? They're the number one golfers in the world, and who is following them around the green during the tournament? They're coaches. Because successful people keep coaches around them. Those who are successful with money and real estate and things investing, they have a team of coaches that they are constantly keeping around them. They're making decisions. They're getting insight. You ever notice that when maybe a star singer or a star athlete rises to the top real fast, and then all of a sudden they surround themselves with people, but it's the wrong people? All their friends are like, yeah, you made it. You made it. And the next time, yeah, we made it. We made it. Man, we have hit it rich now. Yeah, you're the man. Of course you're the man because you got the money. And they're telling you how to spend your money. And the next thing you know, you're on the news for your money's being wasted. You're in trouble because you're in the wrong places. They got you hanging out with the wrong crowd. Why? Because you surrounded yourself with the wrong counsel. And those who say, no, 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 I want to get some life coach. I want to be around some people who've been there and done that. Those people succeed, and they find themselves being around people, and they find themselves succeeding far beyond a longevity than those who shoot to the top. We always see people, stars, who shoot to the top, maybe because of ability, but because of their attitude is not ready to handle that. Whew, they hit rock bottom, don't they? They were not ready. They didn't surround themselves with the right people. Surround yourself with the right people. You ever notice when someone's trying to help us that we say or think, oh, they're too old to help me. Oh, they're too young to help me. Or, she's a girl. What's she doing trying to help me? He's a guy. What's he doing trying to help me? I mean, our mind automatically wants to write everybody off, right? Our mind automatically says they don't know what they're talking about. That's the spirit of an unteachable spirit hitting home to us. We got to fight that off. The third thing we see is isolation. Isolation. When you are unteachable, you'll isolate yourself or withdraw in a time of difficulty. When times get tough, you isolate yourself instead of going and getting help you need. It happens. Proverbs 18:1 warns us against it. It says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all the wise judgment. He gets mad against the wise counsel, and he just isolates himself. He says, a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. Wise people go get help when they're having problems. We say again, wise people go ask for help when they're having problems. Let me tell you this, asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of maturity and strength. It's taken me 20 years to figure that out. But I'll tell you to again. If you can get this into your spirit right now, this will help so many people in this room. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of maturity and strength. Because let me let you in on some insight today. None of us have all the answers, and none of us have it all together. We all need counsel. We all need to be taught, and we all need instruction from time to time. And when you're going through something, don't be afraid to reach out. Don't isolate yourself. Don't blame others. Look at this, D. The blame transfer. People who struggle with an unteachable spirit, they blame everybody else. It's their fault, not mine. I mean, this started way back in the garden, right? Adam, what happened? My wife, she gave me the apple. Eve, what happened? The serpent, he made me do it. I mean, it's been started in the first couple, and it's made their way to us till today. We all like to blame everybody else for our problems, right? See, people who are unteachable, they want to blame everybody else. It was my parents' fault. It's my boss's fault. It's the government's fault. It's the teacher's fault. It's the coach's fault. Everything is everybody else to blame, and we never look in ourselves and say, what responsibility do I need to take? See, a teachable person learns to look within himself and take responsibility and quit blaming everybody else. And E, five, the five point of this, is surrounding yourself with people who agree with you and feel threatened by those who have a different opinion than you do. See, people who are unteachable, they surround themselves with people who only agree with them. Well, you know what? I was mad at my husband for this, and I talked to three girls at work, and they feel the same way about their husband. And so I must be right. This is the kicker, all right? You know what? I was getting marriage counseling from some of my girlfriends, and like, OMG. I mean, like, I was getting some help, and like, my friends told me I was so right. And like, none of them are married, but yet they are all of a sudden qualified to give you marriage counseling, right? Listen, if you're newly married, let me tell you, don't go to your friends who are not married for marriage counseling. Just, they'll have you unmarried in about 6 months. That won't take very long to pull you back in because they're jealous because you got somebody and they don't. Little wisdom there. Okay. The danger is this. You never see the problems you need to change when you surround yourself with people who only agree with you. Let me say again. The danger of surrounding yourself with people who only agree with you is you never really have a chance to see what you really need to work on. And all of us have things we need to change. All of us have areas we need to work on. Let me give you five root causes of an unteachable spirit. First thing is pride. Why pride comes in. Scripture is very clear. The scripture is full of verses that talk about this. Let's read it real fast. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. James 4:6 says, God resists. Everybody say resist. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, everybody say resist. What do you do when you resist somebody? Do you resist somebody like this, right? You put out your hand, I resist. You're not coming forward. I'm resisting you. How many think that God is mad at you? But when you have pride, God resists you. He's mad at you. Let me give you a different viewpoint of it. If you have children today and you see your children doing things that are going to lead to a path of destruction in their life, what do? You do everything you can to get in their way and say, no, you're headed down the wrong way. Stop. I'm putting up barriers to stop you from making the mistakes because you're getting close to the edge and you're liable to fall off. And so I'm doing everything I can to resist. I'm putting up boundaries. I'm doing everything I can to resist you from going any further because you're not ready yet. This is the same picture I want you to get in your mind. When God resists us, He's not punishing us. He's just trying to protect us. He says, no, you got way too much pride. You think you're ready for this, but you're not. I've got to resist you because you're not ready. I've got to push you back because you're not ready. Pride is going to lead you down a path of destruction. Pride is going to cost you your marriage. This pride is going to cost you your job. This pride is going to cost you your ministry. This pride is going to cost you your children. And so I'm going to do everything I can to resist you until you learn to be humble. He does it out of love. It's not that He's mad at us. No, He wouldn't die for people He's mad at. He didn't give His life for people He's mad at. He loves us, and He resists us out of love. Does that help anybody today? Isn't that a different viewpoint to see? That God resists us not because of anger, but because of love. What else causes us to have an unteachable spirit? Rebellion. Those who have a rebellious spirit. Those who have insecurities as well. People who say, I know it all. People insecure, you have an unteachable spirit. Why? Because I know it all, right? No, that means you're insecure. If you think you know it all, you're insecure. It's all right to have people speak to you. It's all right to learn something new about yourself. It's all right to have something brought out that maybe is not perfect. It's okay. Like I said, none of us got it together. None of us are completely there. We all need help, and we all need to be taught, and we all must be corrected from time to time. It's all of us. And so we got to learn. It's the foolishness. Look what Proverbs 22:15 says. A youngster's heart is filled with foolishness, but physical discipline will drive it far away. Now, the problem is this, is that many of us as adults still have our heart full of foolishness. There's still a lot of immaturity, a lot of foolishness there. And if we allow it to, it keeps us from becoming teachable. Nobody can tell you anything. You can't be serious about anything. People try to tell you things that are going to help you in life, and you just laugh it off. Why? Because you're full of foolishness. No, you got to settle down, mature, and say, you know what? If someone's trying to correct me, there's probably some truth there. And I will tell you this, that many times in my life, I've had people try to correct me. And even though I probably 90% of what they said wasn't true, there's probably 10% that was. And I've got to learn to sift through that and say, all right, I may not everything they're saying may not be true, but there's probably a nugget of truth in there somewhere that's really true about me. And I got to be okay with that and say, okay, thank you. Thank you for teaching me. Thank you for correcting me. As long as you do it in the right spirit, I will receive correction all day. As long as you do it in the right spirit, I'll receive instruction all day. Notice I said the right spirit, okay? That's how we do it. The last part of this in the five root causes of an unteachable spirit is laziness. Boy, it says this is a laziness. It's also a root of being unteachable. Because look what Proverbs 26:16 says. A lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven other guys who are wise, basically is what it's saying. Who can answer sensibly. See, the lazy man says, I'm wiser than the council. The lazy man says, I don't need instruction from anybody else. Even though these seven people have instruction that will teach me, help me to grow, I've got it figured out. I don't need that. See, I used to have an uncle that way. He was just lazy, and he had the answer for everything. He knew everything. You couldn't tell him anything. And I would look at him at 8 years old and go, no, you're just lazy. You're just lazy. Well, I can't go back to work yet because the government's about to shut down. And when it does, we're all going to lose a salary. So I've got to stay here and prepare myself now. And he had this long list of things. If you listen to him, it sounded pretty intelligent. But really, he was just lazy. That's all it was. He didn't want to work. He didn't want to do anything to get better. He didn't want to do anything to get himself better. He was lazy. Out of a lazy spirit produces an unteachable spirit. All right, let's get to the good part here in closing. The four characteristics of a teachable spirit now. So this is what we want to have, okay? What we talked about is what we don't want to have. Let's talk about now what we want to have. These are the characteristics of a teachable spirit. The first and foremost is humility. Humility. Scripture says that God resists the proud. It also says he exalts the what? The humble. He exalts the humble. Let me say that again to you again. He exalts the humble. It doesn't say he exalts the one with the most ability. He doesn't exalt the ones with the most connections. He doesn't exalt the one who cries the most. He exalts the one who is humble. He exalts the one who's humble. The one who can say, you know what? I don't have it all figured out. The one who can say, you know what? I need to be taught. I need to be teachable. I can look at people throughout ministry over the last 20 years, and I've counseled people, I've trained people, and I can tell you, I can know real fast those who are going to succeed and those who don't. The first time I have to sit down and teach them something and correct them on something, how they respond tells me whether or not they're going to make it. I've seen the pattern, and it's 99.9% right. The only ones that's not right are those who change later on in life. But the ones who resist correction, they spin their wheels, they go from ministry to ministry, and they burn out, and then pretty soon they're not doing anything. They go from job to job to job, from marriage to marriage to marriage, and they burn out and never learn. Why? Because they're not teachable. You got to be humble. Show humility. Admit it, that I don't know it all. It's okay. That's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of maturity. Admit, I don't know it all. You got to be gracious in accepting correction and input. Be gracious in accepting correction and input. Remember our first verse we read in Proverbs 9. The wise man, what? Receives correction, and he thanks him, and he loves you for it. So when you correct me or give me instruction, or I seek out counsel for somebody, this last week I sought out counsel for somebody that called on my phone. Hey, I need some advice on this. What do you think? And they gave me some wise counsel, and I took it, and I thanked them for that. Sometimes I call people and ask them questions, and they're like, you know what? Let me tell you the truth. And they correct me, and it hurts a little bit. But you know what I do? Thank you for your honesty. That's going to make me better. That's going to make me grow. That's going to give me insight. It's going to cause me some problems down the road. I've got to be the person who humbles myself, asks for help, and I graciously accept correction and input. The third part, this is really important, seeking wise. Everybody say wise. Seeking wise counsel and input in times of decision or difficulty. Look what Proverbs 11:14 says. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. No counsel, people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is what? Safety. I think Solomon was on to something. What do you think? Those who surround themselves with counselors, there's safety. Those who had no counselors in their life, they fail. Proverbs 15:22, the plans fail for what? Plans fail for a lack of counsel. But with many advisors, they succeed. I've got a plan. Do you have a counsel? Let me ask you again. I have a plan, but do you have a counsel? Are you running your plans by people? I got a plan for my marriage. Well, do you have people who are counseling about your marriage? See, the key here is seeking wise counsel. Let me give you something. Don't ever receive counsel that's against God's word. Don't ever receive counsel that's against God's word. I would tell you this. I've received Christian counsel from people who are not Christians. I've learned counsel from businessmen who are probably not Christians, but were doing things God's way. And I grew from it. But don't ever receive counsel from someone who's not giving you counsel that lines up with God's word. And the most important thing, don't seek advice from people who aren't successful. Well, Pastor, I don't need counsel because I've been talking to my aunt. And my marriage is in trouble, but it's okay. She's been talking to me. And she's been married 6 times. And she's an expert on marriage. She's got it all figured out by now. She's telling me, just don't get married. That's her answer. No, go to somebody who's been through the fire or who's struggled. And they say, our marriage was rocky, but we pulled it out. And God brought it back together, and we made it last. That's who I want to give me marriage counseling. I want to go to those who've been married a long time. I want to go to those who know what they're talking about. I don't go to people in business and say, boy, I want to learn how to be financially successful. They're driving a nice car. So I'm going to ask you, how did you afford that nice car? No, don't go to them because they may be in debt over their ears. Go to somebody who's paid off several cars and who's learned to pay off their credit cards and who's learned to get themselves out of debt and live within their means. And so now they can afford nice things because they've taken care of their debt first. How'd you get out of debt? Teach me how to get out of debt. I want to know. Give me wisdom. Don't go to somebody who's just but they got nice rims on their car. They must know a lot about autos. No, go to somebody who understands. Ask them. You know, when I first started working out a few years ago, I went to the gym and I signed up. And I was signing up. And when you first sign up, they give you a free session with a trainer. And so I signed up, showed up for my first training meeting, and I came in ready to get back into shape. I was listening to Eye of the Tiger all the way over there. I was pumped, ready to go. I had the matching outfit on and everything. I was ready, man. And I showed up, and this lady walks out to train me. And I was like, you're going to train me. this little thing here, you're going to train me. Lady, I could pick you up and curl you with one arm. That's the way I felt. She's going to train me. So automatically, in my mind, I was already thinking, I am not going to get anything out of this session. This is embarrassing. I don't want any of my friends to come in seeing this lady train me. I'm just telling you the truth now. Come on, this is the macho side of me talking. Any guys relate? Okay. And she's going to train me. I'm like, okay. We got 15 minutes into our session. And I'm like, you got to slow down. And she's like, no, get up. Because the bottom line was, if I wanted to lose weight, I don't need to go over and ask the guy who's benching 500 pounds but weighs 500 pounds. I need to ask the lady who's had 12 kids and is like, okay, we can do this. All right. Woo! I had to swallow my pride. Okay, maybe I need to listen to this woman here. It's about cardio, and I got to get this cardio thing figured out, and I'm going to lose some weight, and I got to quit worrying about how much I'm benching and worry about how much cardio I can do. If I'm ever going to lose some weight, that can come later. But I had to, I had to get my mind in a place of saying, all right, I can learn from you. I had to become teachable. I had to admit that maybe my way wasn't the right way. I had to admit that maybe some of the things I used to do when I was younger is not going to work now that my body's older. That's hard to admit, isn't it? Yeah, but see, I had to learn. And now it's awesome because there's people there that they want to help you. And people, it's amazing. If you go and ask somebody who's in shape at the gym, say, hey, man, can you give me some tips? Most people love to help you. They want to help you, but you just got to ask. I mean, I don't tell you how many times I'm looking at something, if you just ask, I would love to help you. I see you coming in and you're just doing the wrong thing. You're doing the wrong thing day after day. I'm like, I would love to help you. Just ask. See, that's what Scripture's talking about. We just got to learn to ask. Don't seek advice from people who have no godly counsel to give you. Listen, like I said, don't go to work and surround yourself with a bunch of people. My husband been mean to me, and I'm trying to get his attention back. What do you girls think? Well, girl, you just need to go out and find you another man. And if you be with him, he will be jealous. No, that's ungodly counsel. No, surround yourself with people who can pray for you and cover you. Who can say, no, I'm going to pray for you and cover you. Here's some godly wisdom. Here's how you can become the woman of God that will attract your man back. Don't be around guys hanging around people who try to give you advice. Come, I can tell you how to get her back. Come down to the bar tonight from 6 to 8. I'll be down there every night. You can follow me. I'll give you the advice you need. Yeah. Right. No. Seek godly people. Seek people with wisdom. Get the advice. Become teachable. Break into it. Last thing here as we close. Submitting to authority and staying accountable. Learn to submit to authority in your life. We all got to do it. Those who are teachable learn that they have to submit to authority. As long as that authority is not doing anything that comes against God's will, against God's word, then we must submit to that authority and learn to be teachable. I would tell you this, even when you don't agree, you got to learn to be teachable. You got to learn to submit to that authority. And when you do, God will exalt you. There's been times I feel like I've known more than the people I was working for. I had to learn to submit, though. There's been times I thought I had better ideas than the person in charge. But I had to learn to submit that. There's been times I thought I knew more than what my dad was telling me. But I had to learn to submit to his authority. See, there's something that God does when we do that. There's an honor thing that God just raises us up. We learn to honor and submit to authority and say, God, I want to learn to be teachable. It breaks the bad cycles in your life. You can get past where you're at. If you find yourself going around and around and around into the bad place over and over again, could it be that your spirit is so unteachable that God's resisting you and keeping you there until you learn to humble yourself and become teachable? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. Nobody's looking around but me. And maybe you're here today. You want to join the four people this morning in the first service who raised their hands and said, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ for the first time in my life today. I'm ready to accept Jesus. We won't do anything to single you out today. We won't do anything to embarrass you. But we want to just simply give you a chance to respond and say, Pastor, I'm ready to make Jesus first in my life. You're talking about becoming a teachable spirit. Before I do anything, I simply just got to say, I need Jesus to be my Savior. I've never prayed that prayer before, and today I want to pray that prayer, asking Jesus into my heart. Nobody's looking but me right now. If that's you, can you just raise your hand where I can see it? Say, that's me, Pastor. Thank you. Anybody else want to raise your hand? Say, that's me, Pastor. Right now. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Want to join these today? Come on, six people today has already raised their hand. Anybody else? You haven't raised it, raise it right now. Say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. We're going to say this prayer together. Those of you who raise your hands, I want you to say it out loud. And as Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you as well. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you my heart today. I give you all of my sin, all of my hurt, all of my dreams. I give you everything I am. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you say, welcome to the family of God. Amen. Exciting. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, it's just the start of a new journey. You need to be plugged into a church home that loves you, will care for you. If you don't have one, we'd love to have you here to get connected. Stop by the very back today when you leave today. We got some things we'd like to give you if you've made a decision, a free Bible, some other things. How many today, without bowing your head, say, Pastor, I want God to do something in my heart. I want to learn to be teachable. I want to break any root of unteachability in my heart, any spirit. I want God to teach me to be teachable. That's you today. Yeah, see, God's doing something. We all have to face this. God, I want to be teachable. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today. We're going to close with a song of surrender. And if you mean this from your heart today, I want you to make it personal. Say, God, I want to make it personal today. I want you to make me teachable. I surrender my life fully to you. Come on, Justin.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all. Surrendering all, and find me here, Lord, as you draw me near, desperate for you, desperate for you. I surrender.
I want to pray for you today. So if you're comfortable, can you just raise your hands up today and say, Father, I surrender my life to you today. Father, I pray right now that God, you would allow a teachable spirit to come upon every person in this room. God, that you would allow any sense of pride, any sense of that would keep you from being everything we need you to be in our life. But I pray that we would show a spirit of humility. And God, you allow us to get rid of anything that would cause us to isolate, to resist correction. To when people instruct us and try to teach us and help us, that God, we wouldn't shy from that. But God, we'll run and we'll ask for advice to those who can help. We'll seek out the counsel of the godly. We'll ask counsel from the godly. We'll say, I need help. That's okay. I take away any spirit of fear, any spirit of isolation, any spirit, Father, of pride. I pray those things are being broken today in Jesus' name. I pray there's a spirit of freedom in this house to learn, to be corrected, to be teachable, to be quick to help those who ask. And God, I pray right now that God, you are going to exalt those who are humbling themselves. You're going to exalt those who are reaching out for help and asking for help. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray right now we will resist all ungodly counsel and we open our heart and mind to godly counsel. May you send people this week who will speak into our life. May you send people this week who will begin to teach and train us. Who will tell us the truth and love that we can grow. And help us to be open to receive that in Jesus' name. That we can begin to break through the bad cycles in our life. God, I pray this whole series would take hold in our heart. God, that you would do something great. That we'll look back for now and say, God, this was a groundbreaking series in my life. I've seen some bad cycles broken in my life. I see some growth happen in my life because I begin to grow, seeking after the godly counsel given my way. And Father, I thank you, God, that you're setting us free. I surrender. I surrender all of my life to you. Come on, one more time. Let's make it personal.
I surrender. I want to know.
If you receive that word today, can you put your hands together? God, I receive that word. Come on. Cement it in your heart today. I come in agreement with that word spoken over my life today. Listen, I see you growing because you know why? Half of you didn't walk out today when I stepped all over your toes. You're becoming teachable. You're listening. And you're receiving correction, receiving things that are going to help you grow in your life. God wants to exalt you. You got to learn to be teachable, okay? Hey, remember tonight at 6 o'clock, the Gap one-year anniversary, Consumed by Fire will be here. You guys have a great, great day. God bless you.